Went to the mall, spent it all, got in the hall and began to squall. God is good, ain't it?
Amen.
Yes, sir, the Lord is so good. Well, I've had a good day today, and trust you have. I've enjoyed the singing tonight.
Amen.
Brother, how old are you, brother?
41.
How old was you when I used to come preach for the church where you and your daddy, Robert Hackworth? Yeah, how old were you then?
About
10.
Five,
10?
Yeah.
Oh, about 6. I started not to ask him that because I knew it was going to make me look old, you know. But I was up there preaching a revival meeting for him. This has probably been 25, 30 years ago. And I had my left-handed guitar, and I was just strumming on that thing, singing a little bit. And his daddy said his son just thought, man, I have never seen nobody play a left-handed guitar before. And he got all enthused and got excited. Got him guitar. How many you got now?
I got five altogether.
Five altogether. Yeah. And doing a fantastic job.
Amen.
Playing a left-handed guitar. And singing. That was good. Then this brother back here, glory to God, he don't need a capo playing the guitar. Most of them I need two or three. He's all over that thing. Hello. Do you give guitar lessons, sir? Oh, you don't give him the lessons. Well, loser again, ain't you? Did a good job. Did a good job tonight. All of it, and I appreciate it. God is good. God bless you.
You still carrying it
close,
brother.
God bless you. I appreciate that. Yes, sir. Now, you're preaching now, too, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And you're the pastor?
Yes,
which
sir.
One? You're the pastor?
Yes, sir. He's my co-pastor. He's my pastor.
He's your pastor. Praise you. No wonder you've been so smart this week. Amen. Like father, like son. Amen. All right, heaven ever got your Bibles tonight?
Amen.
All right, if you're physically able, and I do want to thank God for our folk being here from West Side.
Amen.
How about all the West Side are standing up? My wife, you're from West Side, you stand up with me. Amen. From West Side, amen. Amen. Hey, brother. You joined the other night, and I didn't even know it. Thank y'all for coming, amen. I appreciate that. And I really do. About a little over an hour's drive from a church, Brother Ben, I guess it took what, about an hour to get here? 45 minutes? Oh, you was driving, y'all got to get in 35, didn't you? No, a little bit longer than that. Amen. Brother Donald, thanks for the invitation to come preach for you. I've enjoyed it this week. I really have. And I want you to take your Bibles, and if you are physically able, once again, to stand, I want you to stand and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19 down through verse number 31. I've preached from these verses many times at the church. I have preached from these verses and several other places across the country I've preached from them. But now notice, if you will, this talks about the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible said in verse number 19 of Luke 16, "There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain man named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. There's a reason for that. He said in verse number 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You see the power in the word of God there. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. My Father, thank you for this wonderful day and the wonderful privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. To enjoy the songs of Zion and the good fellowship with your people. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful privilege. And I stand where no man dare stand alone. And I would beg you and ask you, Lord, to touch me and fill me afresh and fill me anew with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Lord, bring Holy Ghost conviction to those that may be here lost, undone, without God. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd bring Holy Ghost conviction to every one of us that is in this building. And let us be convicted to the fact that we seemingly have lost our burden for souls that's on the road to hell. Oh, Father, stir our hearts tonight. And let us see the need to be a witness, a shining light. And oh, Father, not only with our lips, but with our life, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. All that you do in answering this prayer, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking and studying and meditating on these scriptures and concerning the rich man that died and went to a place called hell. Well, the Bible said that there is a hell. Well, is there a hell or is there not a hell? A lot of preachers, so-called preachers, are going across this country saying that there's no such a place as hell. Well, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe some liberal preacher or are you going to believe God Almighty? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe this Bible. Just as sure as there is a heaven and there is a heaven, there is a place called hell. And here is a man that went to this terrible place. Oh, my friend, there is no escape. He realizes there is no escape. And God has laid about three things on my heart concerning this rich man that is in hell. And he realized when he died and he went to hell that it was a place that had real burning fire in it. And the Bible says in verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He showed no mercy before he died. He showed no mercy to Lazarus, the poor man. He showed no mercy, was laid at his gate. He showed no mercy, and he dies lost, and he dies without mercy. And now he's begging for mercy. Look what he said. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Where there is flame, there is fire. Amen. And there was fire, and it was so severe that the Bible said that he was tormented in this flame. Hell is a place of fire and torment, my friend. In verse number 25, you find the word tormented. And on down, you find the word tormented again. In verse number 27, or he said in verse number 28, he said in verse number 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. It was a place of torment, fire. If you got a loved one that's lost, undone, without Christ, and they die in that condition, they go to this awful place that is called hell, my friend. Notice, if you will, what Jesus said. The hottest message that's ever been preached on hell was preached, my friend, from the lips of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You find Jesus' solemn warning of hell. I don't believe that we as preachers preach on hell often enough. I believe, my friend, that we need to get back to preaching more on the judgment of God and preaching more on a place that's called hell. It's not popular to preach on the judgment. It's not popular anymore to preach, my friend, on hell, fire, and damnation. But it's in the Bible, and we must do it. God said do it, and God preached on hell, and we must preach there is a hell. We must warn them. We must tell them it is a real place. It's not a parable. It is a real place. Mark 9:42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. He said, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In verse number 47, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone that shall be salted with fire, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. So hell is a place of everlasting burning fire. How many in this church tonight have someone, you have a family member that is lost without God? Would you raise your hand? How many of you in this building have a friend that is lost without God? Would you raise your hand? My friend, if you did not have a family member that was lost, if all of your family members were saved, if all of your friends were saved, then my friend, you still, and I would still, need a burden for somebody else's family members, for somebody else's friends, that they might repent, that they might hear the gospel, that they might be saved by the grace of God. Not only does hell needs to be preached in churches where everybody in the church is saved, but it needs to be preached where people are there that are not saved. We have lost our vision. We have lost our burden to preach on judgment and to preach on hell and the fire that's in hell. Absolutely. Hell is a place of fire. The wicked have no hope when they die. This man had no hope. Now, I preached on having hope and having help and having a heaven to go to last night. This man has no hope. This man has no help. He's begging for hope. He's begging for help, but he does not get it. You don't have and you don't find mercy in hell. You don't find hope in hell. You don't find help in hell. You don't find heaven in this awful place that's called hell. Church, we need to wake up and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise have hope when they die. Isn't that a blessing? If in this life only we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all been most miserable. And I'll quote it last night in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 19. Oh, I'm glad my hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. Isn't that a blessing from God? Here's two men. Both of them lived. Both of them died. One went to heaven, the other went to hell. I'm glad I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm glad my name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad I'm heaven bound. Thank God with a hammer down. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Here was a man that found out when he died that hell was real. He found that it was a place of fire. And I'll tell you, a preacher that will not warn the lost people that there is a hell is a preacher that's not pleasing in the sight of God. Not pleasing in the sight of God. We don't need to preach like we wish everybody was going to hell. But we need to preach with a burden and preach it loud and preach it plain and preach it clear that we don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The rich man died and went to hell. And he didn't want anybody to come there. Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom. And he wanted everybody to go there. Isn't that a blessing from God? The rich man wanted to get out, but he couldn't get out. And I'll tell you, Lazarus, he didn't want to get out. He said, that's the best place I've ever been in my life. And heaven's going to be the best place we've ever been in our life. Amen.
Praise God.
And I want to tell you something. Lazarus got there and he wanted everybody to come there. Because he found out it was a place where faith in people with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ go when they die. He found out that it was a place of freshness. Everything up there was fresh. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing from God? He found out that his future was a bright, beautiful, lovely, marvelous, magnificent place. Hallelujah. Oh, not a blessing from God. Woo! When we get to heaven, thank God, Brother James, I'm going to tell you, we've never seen anything like it. But here's a man that goes to hell. Lost, undone, without God. He finds it as a place of fire. Real burning fire. I don't like fire, do you? I mean, I like it. If it's in its place. I mean, it gives us heat. But I don't like to be burned by fire. Neither do you. If there's no fire in heaven, no fire in hell, then there's no joy in heaven. But I'm glad there's joy and love and peace and satisfaction in heaven. It's a place we won't never want to leave. It's a place of bigness. It's a place of beauty Thank God it's a place of brightness, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the light of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a day that's going to be. Amen.
Amen.
He found out, my friend, that hell was a place of fire, and he found out that hell was a place of fear. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Fear hath torment. Brother, I want to tell you, and we better learn to fear a holy and a righteous God.
Yeah.
Brother Ben, he didn't have no fear of God before that he died. But when I see him begging, when I see him burning, and he's not only burning, but he's begging, I realize, my friend, that hell has got to be a place of fear.
Yeah.
I preached to you last night. I want to give you this again. And what your next door neighbors will be if you die lost and go to hell. Your next door neighbors. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what the Bible says. The second death means they're burning in hell. They're paying for their sin, and it never does get paid for, Brother James. And listen, Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Oh, it's good to see sinners repent and be saved by the grace of God and accept the payment that was paid for our sin on the cross of Calvary. Now we don't have to die but one death, and that is a physical death. We don't have to die the spiritual death, because you've been saved. Been saved by the grace of God. The other morning, early, as I was reading my devotions in the morning, my devotions most of the time is four chapters a day. Notice what the Bible said. Solomon said this over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. He talked about fear. Notice what the Bible has to say. If you will, please. In verse number 24, because I have called. What is he saying, Brother Jason? I've called, but you didn't answer the call. I'm going to tell you, when God burdens your heart, I mean, when God shows you that you are a lost sinner, that's God calling you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit saying, Jesus is calling. He wants you to come. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be saved. Because I have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He said, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Then he said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Oh, listen to me. Do you believe this man? Do you think that he's in a place of fear? Do you think he's in a place of fear? He begged for water but didn't get it. He begged for a witness, but he didn't get it. He didn't get one thing that he asked for when he died lost. Watch this. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. Boy, I'm serving a God, Brother Philip, that answers prayer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I cry aloud, and he shall hear my what?
Voice.
Hallelujah. I got a God that I can pray to, a God that loves me, a God that understands, a God that's able, a God that will answer. Yeah. God has answered prayer for me today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What a wonderful Savior.
Yeah.
Boy, can you see the sadness in this? Did you see those four words? I will not answer. That's sad, isn't it? They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Let me show you some scripture. I had no idea I was going to read it tonight until I read that verse right there. In Isaiah 55, verse number 6, he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, you're not going to find the Lord in a place called hell. The rich man could not find the Lord in the place called hell.
Right.
Oh, you don't find the Lord after you die. You find the Lord before you die. Brother yeah. James, that man, praise God, over 44 years ago, hey, the Lord found me. I sure am glad that he did, praise yeah. God. He found me, and he saved me, and he sealed me, and he satisfied me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. He said, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. For he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's go on down. Look what he said. For they that hated knowledge. Brother, there's people that hate you. They hate this church. Brother James, there's folk that hate you. And every one of you folk on my right side and on my left side, there are people that literally hate you. And the reason they hate you is because you love Jesus.
Amen.
And when they see you love Jesus and they know they don't love Jesus, you know what they're doing? Our lives are really condemning them. For their wickedness. For the wickedness. And if you read John 15, you'll find out that Jesus said in John 15 and John 17, he said, I'll tell you why they hate you. It's because they hated me. They hated me, but before they ever hated you.
Right.
Then our church got visitation. Was you with them? Little Tuesday night, Brother Clarence knocked on the door. Y'all heard him say this. Man said, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say about religion. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. He said, would you come to church? Would you come visit our church? He said, I told you, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Would you take the gospel track? He said, I told you, I don't want nothing you have. We had everything that he needed.
Yeah.
We had the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He needed that. He didn't want that.
Man.
He literally hates Christians. That's what this crowd over yonder in Iraq and all of that crowd of Muslims that hates God, they hate Christians, friend. We have the truth, brother. We have the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Well, won't you notice something, if you will, please? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So the Bible said in verse number 30, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely.
Amen.
Lazarus hearkened unto the Lord. He's dwelling in a safe place. He's dwelling in safety. We're in safety with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, yes, man. Oh, yes.
I used to fear dying. I used to be afraid to die. I don't want to die right now, but I've got to one of these days. and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
Yeah, right.
I've got to die, but I know where I'm going. I know what my destiny is.
Amen.
And you too, if you're saved, you got a better place to go.
Right.
A little girl got saved last night, 11 years old. I wish I'd have got saved when I was 10 or 11.
Oh, a life would have been saved. A soul was saved, and then a life is saved from sin. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, you better check up tonight if you're not saved. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. If you're not saved, you better check up tonight for him. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. It was a place, my friend. It was a place of fire. He found that out. It was a place of fear, my friend, a place of fire, a place of fear. Then it was a place that he didn't want his family to come to. He didn't want his family to go to an awful place called hell. Can you imagine being separated from your loved ones forever and ever and ever? Can you imagine how horrible that would be to be separated from your family that you love, your family that you grew up with, your family, my friend, that you worked with, your family that you fellowship with? Wouldn't it be a horrible thing to know that you'd never see them again? I was called this morning about, well, I was over at the garage getting the oil changed in my car, and my wife called me. I guess it was around 11:30, something like about 10:30, I believe. And she said, "Brother Paul, they just called from the funeral home and said that Shirley Duggins had passed away. Did you know that, Brother Ben? You preached to her every other Sunday at the rest home, that she had passed away. And they said, we can't afford to bury her, poor people. Said, we can't afford to bury her, so we're going to have her cremated. But they've got her body fixed and embalmed, and they're going to let the family at 3 o'clock. They want the family." She had one daughter and several grandchildren, and her grandchild called and then told me to talk to her mother, and I talked to her mother. And she said, "Preacher, we can't afford to bury her." And said, "We're going to have her cremated, but they've got to fix her. They want all of the family to be at the funeral home at 3 o'clock. Said, "Could you come over?" I said, "I'd be glad to come over. I would be glad to come over there." So I went over there, Brother Jason, and all of them were there. It was about 10 minutes. I got to about 10 minutes and 3. It was about 15 minutes before they were let us swing to see her. They had a picture real nice, real nice, but she wasn't even in the casket. One of our men that works at that funeral home said, right after the family, this new girl viewing the body, we've got to carry her up to Danville. She's somewhere up here where they cremate the bodies.
Right.
But I looked at that family, and I'm going to tell you, every one of them was weeping and crying. And they let the father go back first, her daddy, and one of her sisters. And so the lady that works there at the funeral home, she said, "Brother Paul," said, "you can go back." I said, "You go in there with him, because you probably don't be needed when that father sees his daughter."
Yeah.
You know what he's doing? He hadn't had a leg amputated here a few years back. He's in a wheelchair, not able to get around much in a wheelchair. So the ambulance brought him over there and buckled him down on the table and brought him in. And he sat there and he started crying. He said, "I'll see you again. I love you and I miss you, but I will see you again, Shirley."
Amen.
And he broke down and started crying. I said, "Praise God." She used to come to our church all the time. I mean, brother, she loved me and my wife, and I'll tell you, she's been in a rest home for a little over a year now. She weighed about 400 pounds, didn't she? About 350, 400 pounds. She was bedridden, couldn't get around. But every time we'd go over, she said, "Brother Paul,"
She talked real fast. She said, "You don't age a bit." I told my wife, I said, "That's why we go by the seer so much. She always tells me I don't age a bit." That family, and I witnessed to them today, and I gave them tracts, and I said, "Look, y'all not in church. You're not saved." Shirley testified she got saved in our church several, many, many years ago, probably 30 years ago. She was from the first one, probably 35 years ago, Brother Ben. I mean, I've been there for 38, and probably it could have been 36 or 7. I don't, right after, man, revival broke out. How many people get saved every weekend? Church growing like wildfire. I'm telling you, my friend, listen to me. And she got saved, and she'd always say, Preacher, thank God you told me about Jesus.
Amen.
Just a few weeks ago, as we was visiting with her, she told us that she knew that she was saved and ready to meet the Lord.
Amen.
You better make sure. Church membership is not salvation.
Right.
Water
right.
Baptism is not salvation.
Right.
Turning over a new leaf is not salvation.
Right.
Your faith and your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, is salvation. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when you get saved, I'm glad you'll be a new creature. I'm glad you will want to join a good church. You will want to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. But your faith is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what gets you saved, and that's what keeps you saved, and that's what gets you to heaven when you die. Praise God. And the Lamb forevermore. It was a place where he did not want his family to come. Boy, I started witnessing my family right after I got saved. I had two brothers that were saved when I got saved. Three brothers that were saved when I got saved. I had one sister that was saved when I got saved. And I started witnessing to it. Give them gospel tracts. And remember, I told you I've got 11 brothers and two sisters. Johnny Fountain was one of the older brothers. He didn't live but 7 hours after he was born. I've never met him, but I know where he's at.
Yep.
And I know where I'm going, and I know I'm going to see him again.
Yep.
The first time I'm going to say, "Hello, Brother Johnny."
That's right.
You listen to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Woo. But I kept on witnessing. Kept on witnessing. My sister got saved. Another brother got saved. Another brother got saved. Another brother got saved. Another brother got saved. Praise God. And every one of them has made profession of faith, and they're all in church. But my young brother, I told you this, he made a profession, but he didn't stay in church long. We still pray for him. No, we don't shout it out. Praise be to God.
Amen.
The last words I said to my daddy, "Dad, you know you're saved." I mean, Brother Philip, he was 84 years old, just barely could speak, barely could hear him. I said, "Daddy, I've witnessed to you. I've talked to you about the Lord, and I've given you gospel tracts, and I've sat down in your house and talked to you about the Lord. Do you know what he said? Did you accept Christ?" He said, "Yes, Paul. I asked God to forgive me. I asked God to come to my heart. I asked God to save me." You say, "What did you do?" I just wept. I just wept. And I walked out of the room, went down to the end of the hall, and just stood there and wept for about 15 minutes. And thank God that he called me.
Amen.
She was 88 years old. She said, "I know I've trusted in Jesus Christ. He's my personal Savior. And I know I'm ready to meet the Lord, and I'm not afraid to die." She was not on any kind of pain medicine. I was in the room with her when she passed away. I was holding my mama's hand when she passed away.
Man.
And I said, "Mama, you sure you're ready to meet the Lord?" She said, "I'm ready. Anytime God wants to take me home, I'm ready." And I said, "Well, if you get to heaven before I do, I just want to tell you, praise God, I'll meet you."
Woo!
Glory!
Amen. Amen.
She didn't have to have any morphine. She didn't have to have any kind of medicine. I was holding her hand, and she just went. And that was it. That was it. Will the circle be unbroken. By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Amen.
Woo! That's amen. Enough to run around the building and holler, boy! Get your family in.
Yeah.
Get your family in. Help get somebody else's in. Not a blessing from God.
Yeah.
That's a blessing from the Lord. And now wait a minute. Look at verse number 16 or chapter 16, verse number 27. Again, I'm just about through. Then he said, I pray thee that, well, let's look at verse number 26. I want you to get this now, about through. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, set, sealed, and cement fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Did I get that right? So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, okay, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. And here's why. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. How long has it been since you sent a preacher to see one of your family members? How long has it been since you asked a preacher to go see your brother or sister or mom or dad or son or daughter? How long has it been? Yeah. Brother Jason, you don't know of the preachers and Christian friends of mine that I sent to my brothers. It wasn't just me praying for them, because I had preachers all across this country. I had preachers and friends that were Christians, Brother Donald, that lived around them and lived close to them, and I would give them their address, and I'd say, would you go see them? Would you go talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Sometimes other people can win your loved ones to the Lord easier than you can.
That's right.
Y'all know Brother Jimmy Cartwright. Man, there's no telling how many times he's gone to see my brother Billy and my brother Lester that died just a few months ago. Tell somebody to go see them. Go see them. Go see them. Go tell them. Mm-hmm. Now, let's sing a song on the spot. You never mentioned Jesus to me, nor helped me the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray. But you never mentioned Jesus to me. How long has it been since you mentioned Jesus to somebody?
Right, brother.
I told Cheryl today, I said, yes, Cheryl, I'll be over there at 3 o'clock, and I got there at 10 till. And I made sure that I had a whole lot of these gospel. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen was right. He said those tracks will track you. He said, what's a track? Man, it's a little piece of paper I've got here that's got, had you heard the truth and God shed the plan of salvation and got the scripture in them. And so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Y'all got a bunch of tracks back there. A lot of them are olive bee green tracks. You won't be olive bee green tracks. There's none no better than olive bee green tracks.
Right.
Give them out. They ain't going to do no good back on a spider web to get on. Spiders to get on them. Spider webs and bugs.
Come on, preach.
Get them out of the track, rabbit. Get them out of your pocket and give them out. It's a testimony because you
sure you're walking straight when you got up in there, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Room after we got through eating, and I noticed that track wasn't
so I reached in just like this.
Right.
And it was just a little bit damp, but I went over and put it right back in the bird sanctuary.
Amen.
Put it in the bird sanctuary. You know what I said? I said, sink them, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I hope that guy that's going in there, who I hope he came back and said, wait a minute. I picked that thing up. I told him to God, how'd it get back out here? Got wings on it, man. Can't you see the wings? What's wrong with you?
Hey, go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Hey,
God is good. Praise God. And God is good, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's good.
Okay, just about through. I said that three times already. Verse number 29 through 31, I'm through. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And boy, I want you to look what a bold preacher. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hell is a place of fire, a place of fear, a place where families go that die lost without God. Now, wait a minute. Brother Jason, he had five brothers. He didn't want to see any one of them come to that awful place. No. You don't have little friends in hell. You don't party in hell.
That's right.
Right.
You don't ever get out. Well, Brother Ronald, Brother Donald, right? Of mighty God tonight, I want us to stand to our feet. I go back down the road, Brother Billy, if you come get us a song, the pianist is coming. I go back down the road tonight, and I say, God, I preached just exactly what you laid on my heart this morning about 6:30 to preach tonight. It's been a good night. I've had good liberty. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want nobody to look this. I don't want anybody to look this way. I just want you to listen just for a moment. How many will say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died in the next 3 minutes, dropped dead, in the next 3 minutes, that heaven is my home, because I remember when I repented of my sin and called on God and asked God to save me. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand all over the building? Okay, you may take your hand down. Is there one would say, preacher, I've been saved, but preacher, there are some things in my life that I know is not right. And I need to confess them and get them out of my life. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Be sincere. Anybody, raise your hand. Preacher, there's some things in my life that's not right. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. We'll pray for you. There's a gentleman here, I think, got everything settled last night, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right, sir? Got back in fellowship with God last night. Got some things out of his life. Well, let me ask you this now. How many of you can say, preacher, I'm closer to God right now than I've ever been in my life? Would you raise your hand? You're closer to God tonight than you have ever been in your Christian life. What a challenge and what a question. Thank you. That means the rest of you could not say that. That means somebody needs to get on this altar and say, preacher, I'm not out yonder in sin like I was before I got saved, but preacher, I'm not as close to God as I should be. And well, let me ask you a question. Who has moved, you or God?
Yes.
Has God moved or have you moved? How many right now would say, preacher, I got a loved one that's on the road to a devil's hell. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. Will you raise your hand and say, pray for them? Okay, how many of you would be willing right now to come to this altar and pray for a loved one that's lost? Member or visitor,
Brother Donald don't care. He knows this altar's open. He let me know the first night we was up here, friend, this altar was open at all times. And I praise God for that too. I really, really do. Boy, what a good week it's been, Brother Bob. I preached, Brother Billy, a lot of revivals since I started preaching 39 years ago all across this country, and I want to praise God. Not near what full-time evangelists preach, but I preached a lot of revivals. My wife has traveled with me, Brother Jason, up and down these highways when she didn't even feel like going. But to see somebody get blessed from God, to see a sinner get saved, to see a backslider get back in fellowship with God, it's worth it all.
Yes.
It's worth it all.
Thank you.
My Father, thank you for these that's made their way to the altar tonight. Answer their prayer request. Those that's not as close to Christ as they one time were, may this be the night they walk out of this building with a determination. They're going to get closer to God than they've ever been. Then, Lord, I pray, oh God, for those that knows there are some things in their life that's not pleasing in God's sight. Lord, would you speak to them and help them to get it right tonight? May heaven's best be upon this church, Lord. Give them many souls for their labor. I know Brother Donald hadn't been here, I think, Pastor. I believe he said about 4 months, but Lord, you're using him. I believe he's a good man. I believe he loves this church and loves you and loves these people. The people sure act like they love him. I want to pray for him. Give him Holy Ghost boldness to keep on standing, Lord. I pray that you will. Bless Brother James, God. Encourage him and strengthen him. And these other preachers, Lord, bless them and have your way in their heart and in the life. And every individual that's in the house of God, encourage them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Brother Billy, what are we singing?
There is a fountain, 222. 222.
Sing it loud and clear. Thank y'all for coming.
Amen.
It's really been it's just like old times around here when Brother Ben Poovey was pastor, didn't it? Just like old times, brother.
Praise God.
Amen. I believe Brother Donald's going to keep it old-fashioned. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. Ain't God good to us?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All the time.
Well,